listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My doctors told me because of my heart condition and stuff, you know, that
you had to lose weight.
I need to lose weight, right. And that's what I did. I lost a lot of weight.
What do you weigh now? 180?
180.
Uh-huh. Pretty good guess, huh?
Yeah. I weigh 180 now. I got pictures of me where I was.
You lost 100 pounds.
Yeah. I got pictures of me when I was way bigger. Let me see if I pull them up there on the picture. Yeah. But, you know, my wife wanted me. I married my wife while I was in prison.
Is she with you now?
My wife is deceased.
Oh, no.
My wife and my granddaughter got murdered by a drunk driver.
Oh, that's right.
Montgomery, Alabama, August the 28th of 2022. Yeah, but I believe in my heart that...
Many of the tribulations of the just, oh my word.
Yeah,
Wow.
I believe that everything, like I say, happens for a reason, and this is my granddaughter, the one that... Wait a minute, where it happened to her?
Well, we can't show that on the radio.
Oh, you can't show that, yeah.
Yeah, let me look at it later.
Okay.
Because I want the people listening to the radio not to.
Yeah, but
I can't see you. But so you weighed almost 300 pounds.
Yeah.
You're only 5 foot.
5'9".
5'9". And you weighed what I weigh at a little over 6'3".
Yeah. I was wearing a size 42 pants.
How did you lose it? I mean, did you stop eating foods?
I stopped. No, my doctor put me on a strict regimen when I came home. I told you about. My wife was a director nurser for the federal government. She was a nurse, so the doctor put me on a strict regimen, and she kept it up. You know, I started losing weight, and it just got to where the weight just started falling off me. You know, I got to like 200. I got pictures in here where I was like 230 pounds.
I hear music.
Is that my phone?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, this is just incredible. You've been through so much. Well, you know, it is written that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Yeah.
It also is written that he was a man acquainted with many sorrows. Mm-hmm. Now, people want to think that he had arrived in his entirety when he was a young man, but he disappeared into the desert and stuff from the age of 12 to 30 until he started his ministry, which was three short years. We don't know what happened to him then, but it says that he was a man acquainted with many sorrows. Do you ever wonder? I mean, and now your grandbaby and your wife, who married you in prison, is taken from you.
In 1989, we got married.
I mean, it sounds like Job. Yeah. What the heck? So, but you're not angry with God?
No. I can't be angry with God. I know God now. I know God now.
You're amazing.
I do. I know God.
So I think you're going to have I hope, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember the guy said that to Jesus?
Yeah.
You're probably going to be some sort of some sort of a big shot in heaven for going through what you went through?
I know
that. Oh, my word.
I truly know that I have, like I said before, I have a reason for being here. God has a reason for me to be here. You know, he took my wife after almost 34 years.
You were married for 34 years?
1989 to 22.
Yeah. Now, why would she marry you in prison?
We had been together almost 5 years before then.
Were you allowed to have conjugal visits?
Yeah.
That means you can make love to her.
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah. But you had to go. It took a while for that for you to get to that point. You had to put in that request through your classification officer. And they got to go through the war, and they got to do your background.
Now, I'm an older guy now, but you were young. What age were you when
I went to prison in 27.
You were at 27.
When I went to
prison. So you're at your peak years sexually.
Yeah.
What must have felt like seeing your wife after years with not touching a woman, and then to be – and people don't realize, I don't know if women know, I've read up on this, that it's not just the act of sex with a man. It's much more profound. Mm-hmm. There's a connection that takes place. That brings peace to our soul. Mm-hmm. It is our job to procreate, but there's a whole lot more to it.
Yeah,
you know.
I looked at it like I even told my wife, man. I told her when she was still my girlfriend, my fiance. I told her when I went into the prison system. I told her, I said, look, go ahead on with your life. You know.
You loved her enough that you were willing to let her go to another man.
No, not to another man. Go ahead on with your life. I'm not saying go to another man. Just go on with your life, whatever your life may be, whatever it entails in being in your life. Go ahead on with your life for the simple fact that I really couldn't, and I've already been getting picked on in prison. I can't focus on so much of what's going on at the house, what's going on the other side of that gate, when I have all these thousands of guys in this prison that I have, don't know.
Now, you were 27, so right. You were young.
Right.
You know, we don't have to go into details, but I'm sure that, you know, you're a young guy. I mean, they come after you, like, you know.
What?
You know, sexually. You know?
Oh, no.
Don't go into details.
No, never. I never did. I never had no problem with that because
oh, good.
They started calling me Psycho Mike real early.
Psycho Mike. Serious, so they knew enough to stay away from you.
Because I've already had been doing things to people that thought they could take advantage of my condition. Like one guy was a bully, a real straight bully.
He
would like to bully people, guys that he thought he could take advantage of.
Yeah.
And this guy, man, I told you I ran stores in prison. He would always go to one of my guys who's running a store in a different dorm.
Remember, always, and you're doing fine, but remember, keep it clean for the Christian session.
Right.
Okay.
So one of the guys, he would always go to one of the guys that runs one of my stores and just take stuff. Take packs of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Just take it. Yeah. Just take it. Six pack of sodas. Just take it and walk off. You know? And it went on like that for a while now. I confronted the guy once before about it. He was a kind of big guy. I confronted him once about it, and it's like very belligerent. He was very belligerent to me, you know. And
so how did
one
you
day,
take care of
this? This is how it happened. One day, we were going through the line in the chow hall. I very seldom eat in the chow hall, period, in the cafeteria.
Why?
Period. Because, again, I had money in prison, and I had cooks that runs the kitchen that will cook whatever I want to eat, and they would have what we called runners that would bring the food to me.
Oh my word! So you were wealthy from your family.
I had no problem with money. Period. The whole time I was in prison.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're allowed to give you lots of money like that?
They put it on my books. They put it on my books. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
But. Put it on my books. Where I can draw money off every week when I go to commissary.
So you would buy cigarettes and candy and all.
Not only that, I would have my wife put money in other guys' accounts. Like guys that's running the stores for me, I would have her put money in there. Back then, we could put cash money. Back when I went to prison, we had cash money in our pockets when I went to prison.
So you wouldn't go into the lunchroom usually
every
because—
Every blue moon, I would go to the lunchroom.
You're afraid somebody's going to—
No, I just didn't like the food too much in there.
Well, you had your own food made.
Yeah, the cook. He'd go in the freezer and cook whatever you want. You're paying him. I'm paying them for this.
And they allowed that in prison? I mean,
we're not allowed to do it. They did it, you know?
Yeah.
That's part of how they make their money.
Yeah.
Like my money was making my money was running the store.
So the guards would look the other way.
A lot of guards didn't care. When I went into the prison system, the guards know I'm selling cigarettes and stuff in prison, packs of cigarettes. The guards would come to me and ask me, hey, Mike, let me get a pack of Newports for me, and I'll bring you the money back tomorrow. And bring me cash money or bring me a pack of cigarettes back the next day. I left my cigarettes in the car. Can I get a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah.
And I give it to them, you know? So I didn't have no problem that much with the guards. Every blue moon, you get one that's trying to be gung-ho, you know, or a new guy trying to make a name for himself. But he's making a name for himself with the wrong person, you know? So
now you go into the chow line where you normally wouldn't go, right?
Okay. This particular time, when I went into the chow line, the chow hall,
yeah,
me and about 15 of the Muslim brothers, we were all together.
Yeah.
They were serving pork chops, or you can have an alternate, like the Muslim brothers won't eat the pork. So we have an alternate, either fish or chicken breast, and they had the big chicken breast, right? When I went into the prison system, we had the iron, real solid iron trays, not that plastic.
Iron trays.
Not that plastic tray, iron trays.
Not aluminum.
Right.
But iron.
Iron, right.
So they were durable, and
right.
They were heavy, and—
Right, and— I went into the chow hall, me and my guys, we were in line. I'm about the seventh or the eighth person in the line out of 15.
And this guy's in there who is—
The guy who's the bully who
he's
loves—
He's a bully who likes to take cigarettes and stuff
right.
from your store.
He works in the kitchen, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he's on a line.
Yeah.
He's serving the pork chops or the fish or the chicken. So I get my potatoes, big thing, potatoes. I love potatoes. I get my potatoes coming down. I said, chicken breast. He looked at me. Now, he put chicken and fish on other guys' Muslim brothers' plates in front of me. When he looks at me and he sees me, he throws a big pork chop, big old pork chop, smashed it right down on top of my potatoes in my tray. And that's an insult. So Muslims putting pork on their pit.
Yeah, at that time you were a Muslim.
Right. It's an insult. When he did it, I throw the whole food tray across the line right in his face. The iron tray, throw it in his face.
Yeah.
He comes out to the end of the line. There's a guard sitting at the end of the line to make sure everybody has one piece of pork chop, one chicken, or one everything. You don't have no two or three pieces or nothing. So that's what the guard does. He checks trays.
Yeah.
So he goes around the guard and comes out to me and wants to fight me, tried to grab me. And I'm big, but we tussled. I couldn't really handle it.
You weighed 270 pounds.
I didn't weigh 270 then. I was about 230, okay. 240. And we tussling in the chow hall. It's like 150 guys in the chow hall eating. One of my Muslim brothers gave me something, you know, a weapon. And I started inflicting punishment on this individual with that weapon. I really did.
The bully.
I really did. I inflicted a lot of punishment on him.
Oh.
Real bad. Real bad. Real bad. The officers in the chow hall, they wouldn't try to stop me.
No, why?
No, because they don't want to get stuck themselves. So what they do, they try to get the brothers, the Muslim brothers, to try to stop me. And they're in the chow hall saying, Subhanallah, Ki Subhanallah. I mean, stop my brother in Arabic. Stop my brother in Arabic, right? And I'm lost. My mind is gone. I'm in a different world, a different zone.
Because you're turning.
And that's why they started calling me Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike.
Right. I just started doing
How bad did the guy get hurt?
Oh, I hurt him real bad.
Did he die?
No, he didn't die, but I had to take him to the free world, what we call the free world hospital. The infirmary couldn't do nothing for
him. And you didn't get in any trouble?
Yes.
Oh, you had to go into solitary?
They put me in the hole.
How long?
I went to disciplinary court. I had to go in front of my classification officer, the lieutenant, the warden, assistant warden, and his classification officer, and he wasn't.
Yeah, but you want to receive, if I was even the warden, I'm going to give you a little more mercy. You're a little guy.
Well, this is what.
You're not a tall guy, you're a short guy. Fighting for your dignity.
What I'm looking at is that they wanted to give me attempted murder charge.
Yeah.
Because I damaged the guy real bad.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to give me an attempted murder charge. They wanted to give it what we call a free world charge, send me outside to court, but a judge has sentenced me more time. But they wound up giving me, putting me in the hole, and I stayed in the hole for 6 months straight. Straight 6 months with no mail, no nothing.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Here at Gallimore Motor Group, you can find an array of new and used cars to choose from. We provide auto mechanic services, auto sales, as well as auto financing options with incredibly low monthly payments. No social, no ITIN, not a problem. You may reach out to us today to find out how we can help to get the car of your dreams at 561-563-1969 or visit us at 950 Old Dixie Highway, Unit 5 and 6, Lake Park, Florida. Get more info at GallimoreMotorGroupLLC.com.